We'll get right into this today. You know, last week, Keith said something. He said a lot of things, very special, and I appreciate it a lot. One of them was the fact he pointed out that he shares with us what God has been teaching him. And I thought, that's very good. I claim that as well. Because, well, to be honest with you, I'm not smart enough or good enough to give you content that's beneficial without God. And that's the only way it's going to work, right? Amen? So even the musicians that I told them before in our prayer time before church, it's like as good as we may or may not be, it only works when there's the anointing. So we share what God has been teaching us. Like Paul says, it's not that I've obtained it, but I'm headed that direction. Come with me, right? Amen? So I appreciate that. And like Keith, I rely on God's direction and his teaching to provide content that's going to be beneficial. Because, listen, we don't have an agenda other than showing you God's love and discipling you to show others God's love. That's our only agenda. We don't get paid more or less if we do terrible at preaching or not. Or if we wear a hat while we preach or not. You know. So our agenda is just to be obedient with God. So I appreciate everybody being here today and your support and prayers. Appreciate you watching online as well. So what Keith was preaching about, one of the things that I love about being in ministry and with you know, your fellow workers, your cohorts in ministry. It's interesting that God begins to sometimes teach all of us the same lesson, just in different views, just with a little bit different light. You know, he's teaching John, God's dealing with John about something, and it actually kind of falls in line with some of the things that God's been teaching Keith and myself. And this even happens with Sunday school. I love it when Sunday school teachers come to me. Mike has come to me before and said, hey, do you have a microphone in our Sunday school class? Because your sermon was exactly what we talked about. And Jill has said that in her Sunday school as well. Even Rebecca Bellflower, I heard, had an amazing lesson Saturday. I wished it was recorded because now I'm interested. Jill told me a little bit. It sounds good, but she was saying even the last sermon that I preached confirmed that was exactly what you were supposed to teach on. So God begins to move all of us in a direction sometimes together, maybe in a little bit different ways, but he moves us together, and I think that's amazing, right? Amen. And with that said, I want to tag along the messages that Brother Keith and Brother John mentioned a couple weeks ago. John's message, his take-home lesson was this: ethically, family, whatever it is. How do we react to people? Very good, very good, challenging message. And then Brother Keith, last week, all in. I'm all in. He talked about God, being all in with God, holding nothing back from it. Loving God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love being the most important of all the commandments. That's what the Bible says. He pointed out, actually, is out of 613 Old Testament laws, he said, it can really be boiled down to these two aspects that Jesus taught about in the Gospels, Mark, Luke, and Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And they were these two things: love God and love your neighbor. And when we've got that covered, we're good to go. Paul said the same thing, using even the same verbiage in Romans and in Galatians. And so, with that being said, this year we've been talking about pursuing God. I believe God is teaching us the importance of pursuing Him and how to pursue Him. Also realize, when you're in pursuit of someone, it never ends, or it shouldn't end. right? What if after you guys have just been married for 1 month? 1 year, yeah. So it's been a year. I know I was there. Okay, yeah, it was just like yesterday. That's right. It's so wonderful. It was like it was yesterday. But if when you got married, you stopped pursuing each other, pretty soon troubles start happening, right? You can imagine. There's a like he doesn't say, okay, I've got her, we're married, there's the ring, there you go, I'm done. Just do what you're supposed to do, you know. But no, there's a constant pursuit. So we constantly pursue God. And he's been talking about how that is important and how to do that. And so I follow along with these other great sermons that's gone before me the past couple of weeks and say this statement along with what God's been teaching us. And I believe this. You cannot successfully pursue God without pursuing people. Now, that may sound very harsh, very direct, but I want you to think about this. I want you to consider this. There needs to be some aspect of your life that is directed at the pursuit of other people for the kingdom of God in order to pursue God successfully for yourself. Now, I will say that they may look differently to each and every one of you, but there's got to be a pursuit of people if you want to successfully pursue God. If I truly love somebody, I'm going to take a big interest in the things that's most important to them, right? It's kind of like also, if you are going to pursue being a professional musician, something that is very important to professionalism is practice. Very good. Who said that? You get an extra 10 points today after the sermon. Practice is very important. You're not going to be able to truly pursue being a professional musician if you're not practicing, right? Just makes common sense. It's very important. It's vital to get to that for the practice. And it's the same with God. To truly pursue God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love Him, we're going to have some aspect of our life that reflects pursuing people. Well, that's what Jesus did too. If you think about it, now realize if you call yourself a Christian, that word literally means Christ-like, being like Christ. Jesus did that. As a matter of fact, people were a pretty big deal for Jesus. For instance, there's several examples all over the Bible, but I want to read to you Philippians 2, 3 through 5. Paul points out this to the church in Philippi. He says, "Do nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, regard one another as more important than yourselves. Do not merely look out for your own personal interests, but also for the interest of others." Now get this last scripture here, verse 5. "Have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus." So let's look at Jesus' attitude. Jesus did nothing from selfish or empty conceit, but with humility of mind, he regarded everyone else more important than himself. He did not merely look out for his own personal interests, but for the interests of others. As a Christian, or being like Christ, we have to have that same kind of attitude, right? Others. And in John 17, to even go further with Jesus' attitude here, in John 17 is the high priestly prayer, is what it's called. Or some people call it that. But this is the final prayer of Jesus before he's crucified. In this chapter, I think it's 17 and part of 18, but in this prayer, the word world, he says 17 different times. I want you to think about the priority on Jesus' mind and heart. For instance, in verse 18, as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. Verse 20, this is a good one too. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those who believe in me through their word. That's us. That's you and I. So that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. Jesus had a lot of faith, didn't he? I could tell by that statement. In my mind before church, that joke was going to go over a lot better. That they all may be one, even as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be in us. Why? All of this unity talk? So that the world may believe that you sent me. And he says it again, verse 23. I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them even as you have loved me. You can definitely see Jesus' priority. What's on his heart? What's important to Jesus? What's important to God? That should also be important to us. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, I know you've heard me say this a lot. For some reason, this is like one of my foundational verses. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, things have become new. Now, all of these things, these new things, you know, like the Holy Spirit is new when you're saved and you get the fruit of the Spirit, this joy that's new and this peace and this love, these new things, this authority, this power that we have now because of greater is he that's on the enemy than the he that's in the world, these new things are from God who reconciled us to himself. So he restored relationship between mankind and himself through Christ. And then he gave us the ministry of reconciliation. We are now, as Christians, supposed to reconcile the world to him. Help people see the love of God. Verse 19, namely, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them. Remember what John said a couple of weeks ago? Jesus said, I didn't come to condemn the world. I came to save the world. I didn't send you to go condemn the world. Not counting their trespasses against them. And he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. So God worked through Jesus to restore human relationship with him. And now we've been given that task. So God works through us to restore humans' relationship with him. Obviously, like I said, this is a great priority for God, and I don't believe that you can pursue God correctly and successfully without pursuing people. In my notes on YouVersion or the paper notes in the foyer, I have a bunch of scriptures that we could continue on about the importance the Bible talks about of other people and our focus being on our treatment and love of them. Paul also writes in Romans 10:13, whoever will call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Who's done that and are now saved? Raise your hand. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how will they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how will they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they are sent? Now, preacher here comes from the Greek word kairouso, And it doesn't mean a preacher like a pastor of a church. It means actually it's like a public crier, like a herald. Remember the kid in the movies in the old days? Get your paper, read all about it, get your paper. And they cried throughout the town, the news that was going on. That's like that. Someone that will proclaim, publish, especially divine truth. See, the world needs someone to show them the love of God. In you, in your own special, unique way, God wants to use to show people the love that He has for them. Because it may be that they won't get it if they don't see it from you. I want to give you some examples because in Hebrews 10:24 it says, let us consider. Think about this. Think about how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds. We have some great examples in this church that I want to share real quickly with you. And I hope that this sparks an interest or maybe an idea or maybe some encouragement or inspiration. But I want to share a few with you. And we all know about John and Jessica, the youth, do this skate night on the last Monday night of every month. And it's free for the community. And I'm telling you, if you've not been in there, it does wonders. I don't know how many people. I went there last Monday, and it looked. John said, it's kind of slow tonight. And I'm like, John, there's like 250 kids in here. And I'm telling you, that place gets packed. And now here's the deal. We may not see all of those kids come to this church, but all of those kids are being impacted for the kingdom of God. I guarantee it. And by the way, let me throw this in there too. The youth group, a lot of times they feed their youth on Wednesday nights. If there was a couple or a team of people or something like that that would take one Wednesday night a month and say, you know what, John and Jessica, I'm going to cook for the kids tonight. I'm going to fix the meals. The first Wednesday night of every month, that's going to be me. I'm going to do that. Think about that. What a great impact. You don't even have to be face-to-face with the kids until you're... Also, something else that they do that has taken on is that is it Christmas that you take out to the food and stuff and clothes to the homeless downtown. Now, they started that just as a family thing, and other people started tagging along and doing it too. And even Mark and Sandra, we've heard on from the announcements, Mark and Sandra get clothes and hats and stuff, and they take down there, I think monthly, right? Or, yeah. We don't know for sure, but they have this ministry that they go and do, and it's amazing, just doing things, pursuing people in some way in their life. Here's another good example I love, and he doesn't want to be the attention in the attention or the limelight or anything else. Probably embarrassed that I would even say his name, but Tanner is a great helper in this church. Tanner is the one that's in charge of making sure that this sermon, this whole service, goes on the live stream. And I have no idea, no earthly idea how he does it. As a matter of fact, Tanner, when he's on vacation, has some kind of magical way that he can log into our system here and run the service from wherever he's at. You know, it's so awesome to have one of those people that, you know, ministers with you. And sometimes you can just point and say, you know, well, I sure wish that would work. And, you know, they're on it, those people. Oh, what a blessing. What a blessing that is. Little John is like that too. We talked about him, John Medved. He comes early. Well, he's the first one here every Sunday. And waits in the parking lot. I mean, he does anything you need John to do. He just runs and does it. You know, things like that are amazing. And Something else that we do. Oh, by the way, speaking of Tanner, and you know, we've got Susie. Susie is another great story. Susie runs the visuals for us a couple of times a month, and it's all done on computer. But the funny thing is, she don't know anything about computers, and she'll tell you that. Like, it's okay. Like, I'm not making fun of her or dissing her or anything, because she's the first to say, I don't know anything about computers. She works with horses and doesn't know much about computers, but she's here early every time. She's very solid, just very always ready to go, always willing to learn. We pulled a new computer out last week, a new program, and I'm like, you know, Susie, you okay with this? Says, yeah, well, I guess it may not be done right, but I'll sure give it a whirl. You know, one of those is she's like, that's amazing that people are like that. Something else that we do that, oh, but I was going to say, if you would like to volunteer, we would love to train you for the visuals, for the sound. Tanner would need someone also to help him out with live stream. We'll teach you how to do that. Jill and I go to Bent Oak every Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And we've been doing this for about 4 or 5 years here at Bent Oak. And we have a service for them. And I take the guitar and we sing some hymns. And I give a little devotion. We just love on them. There are people that can't drive anywhere, or they don't have cars or can't drive anymore. It's like a retirement village, and that, so that's their church. Without that, they wouldn't have one. And so it's a great ministry. Our heart is kind of in that area, and we love it. If someone would love to show up with us, and I could help you start teaching them on occasion, it's just like 15 or 20 minutes, and come on down, help us. Just love on people. We may have 2. We may have 8. You never know. It's not a big deal, but to those people, it is a big deal. We also take them to Walmart on Thursday. One of the nurses there said, Pastor, we don't. These people, you know, they don't drive. Some of them don't have family around here, and so they're just aching to get out and go to Walmart. And so I take them to Walmart once a week in the van. Now, in the bus, thank you very much. It's so much safer for them to get in and out of that bus. I tell you what, I had to pray through every time those ladies were getting in and out of that van. Lord, help this to work okay. And in that bus, it's so nice. So thank you for that. But we take them every Thursday to Walmart. If you'd like to volunteer for something like that, it would be wonderful to just, you know, about an hour and a half out of your day and take the ladies to Walmart. It's a blessing. We have a few people that to have Bible studies in their home. I know Janet Dunn has a Bible study in her home. Becky has a Bible study in her home. How long have you been doing that, Becky? 40 years. Oh, wow. How about that? Yeah, that's awesome. Now, that's a big impact. That's a big impact. That's pursuing God and pursuing God's people. I tell you, somebody else that is really just taken the reins of something and gone with it. Lindsay Hawes is the leader of the encouragement committee for the women's ministry. A lot of you here have received a card from the women's ministry, and that's probably because of Lindsay. I don't have to babysit her. I don't have to. We don't have to hold her hand through it. She doesn't have to call me and ask, "Well, what's this? What's this? What I do here?" She just does it. You give her. She's one of those. You get. Here's the keys to the church. Have at it. And she has meetings. She has art parties and all kinds of stuff. And what a blessing it is to have somebody like that. There's all kinds of ways that we can pursue people. Some of them may not even be in the church walls. Kind of like Jesus did, most of Jesus' ministries was not in a building. Amen? It may be that you feel led to, you know, latch on to one of these missions that we support, or a mission that's important to you. and you just make sure that they're funded somehow. If you can't raise money for it, you find somebody else. You go to different churches and ask for money to keep these missions going. Or maybe you want to give to, because we're going on mission trips in the next year or two. We've got a couple planned already. And I want to be the type of church that we are not more interested in sending people in, or getting people in, than we are sending people out. Right? I know that's weird for a preacher to say, but I want to be known to be that we are sending people out of here to go to carry the gospel to the world. Come, get healed, get restored, get discipled, and go and preach the gospel everywhere else in the world, or at least be a part of it. Amen? So many things that we can do. Oh, you know what else? Keith gets a bunch of guys together and goes and takes care of a lawn that a couple in our church, great couple, they can no longer do it themselves anymore, and he does that. I just want to give you some examples of some things that people do and that we can do. Maybe it sparks your interest to get involved somehow. But we don't get to pursue God successfully without some type of pursuing people, because people is his highest priority. The reason I can say that is John 3:16 says, God loved the world so much that he gave the biggest price. His priority is people. So our priority should be people as well. And there are many things that we can do and need to do. I would love to start a bus ministry. I bet we could pick up in the first couple of weeks. I told the board this too. I said, I bet we could pick up and add 50 people in the first month if we had people that would drive a bus on Sunday mornings. So we need people to do that. There's various levels of direct face-to-face interaction. However, all ministries are important. I had a friend call me real quick this week, and he is hands down one of the best vocal male vocalists that I've ever played with. And I've played with some people that you may know, but this guy is amazing. Never made it big, but he is an amazing male vocalist. He's turned himself around, his life around a couple of years ago. He's in church and he's growing in the Lord. He calls me all the time with these spiritual biblical questions, and I love it. But he's interested in beginning to play at church, maybe do some singing. And I said, you really should sing. Sing a special at least, with nothing else. And he says this. He says, well, Jeff, you know me, I don't feel worthy. I don't feel worthy enough to be used of God in that way that I would inspire someone towards him. And I said, well, God used a donkey once. And he did. And I did. I said that, and he laughed. But here's the deal. Here's the important thing. One of the things that comes to mind, you mean you've got a sketchy past like Paul or Jacob, David or Judah? Many of our heroes in the Bible, Old and New Testament, and basically, to be honest with you, most everyone in Jesus' lineage that's listed is pretty sketchy in their past somewhere. God loves sketchy people. Yeah, it's true. I'm telling you. One of the reasons is when God delivers a person with a sketchy past, there's no one better that can demonstrate no one can better demonstrate the love of God to a sketchy person better than someone with a sketchy past. He can use you regardless. Hallelujah. He can use you regardless. I want us to get that in our hearts. There's a point that we have to pursue people and not just try to keep getting things for ourselves from God. That's not Christianity. Christianity is giving God to everybody else. And I know life is busy. It seems like it's been busier than ever before. Inflation makes us want to work more. School and sports is crazy busier than I remember ever being. But I want you to heed this advice, please, today. There needs to be some aspect of your life that is directed at the pursuit of other people for the kingdom of God.